Dearly beloved in Christ, the Feast of All Saints is an opportunity to, of course, rejoice, and we give thanks to God that He has given us so many beautiful souls who now can intercede for us in heaven. It also reminds us of our ultimate goal, which is getting to heaven. Contemplating the happiness of our future life in heaven is a great means of boosting our spiritual energy and helping us to push through difficult trials and the natural burdens of life. Likewise, thinking of purgatory is beneficial for a few reasons. The first is that if we really try to understand the misery, although we would not be fully able to comprehend in this world that misery, if we try to comprehend the misery of those who suffer in purgatory, we would undoubtedly take every means to avoid it. We can't be satisfied with trying to just get to purgatory. We don't want to go there. Even though this means eventually we will get to heaven, it is more painful than we can even know. So we must do all that we can, go that extra mile to get to heaven. The second thing that makes the thought of purgatory beneficial is that we stir up a desire, and thus we make a resolution, to pray for those detained in purgatory. As we know, we have the Feast of the Holy Souls coming up, and this whole month is dedicated to the Holy Souls. We should especially remember to pray for all the Holy Souls on that day, particularly any of our relatives or friends. Spiritual writers tell us that it is even beneficial to think of hell. To contemplate the sufferings of the damned motivates us to avoid it at all costs. Some people tend to be morbidly attached to watching horror movies, which are designed to make us feel discomfort and fear. But to what end? If only they spent a fraction of that time thinking on the sorrows and the pains of hell, they would undoubtedly be moved to tears of contrition for sin and awaken a healthy fear of God. And I say healthy fear of God because it is a good thing. Properly understood, fear of God means that we dread to displease Him because we have a better understanding of the evil of sin. But of course, we realize that none of us fully knows what hell, purgatory, or heaven is really like, though we can get a glimpse or somewhat of an idea from the descriptions of Holy Scripture. Still, it's hard for us to contemplate it in any way that we can here and now understand. It transcends what we can experience in this world. St. Paul famously tells us that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what things God hath prepared for them that love Him. We just know that in heaven we will be perfectly happy. We will want nothing, suffer nothing, fear nothing. The beatific vision of God will fill us with such joy and complete our existence. This world can never satisfy us. We always want something more. Once we've got that thing that we thought we wanted or we thought would completely satisfy us, then in a matter of weeks or days or maybe even hours, perhaps, we are looking for the next earthly pleasure. And this isn't to say that we can't enjoy life. But enjoying life is not the point. It might actually be better said that suffering is the point of life, although not as an end in itself, obviously. But suffering as a means to gain heaven and God for all eternity. It is, however, perfectly fine to desire and to pursue the lawful and moderate joys that God allows us to have in this life. It is often proposed as a proof of God's existence and the spirituality of man, that nothing can truly satisfy us here on earth. We have been given a desire for something more, something we know deep down in the core of our being that this world cannot even begin to produce. And this is a great blessing, that we consistently feel that need. Even those who pretend to be perfectly satisfied with the things of this world know that there is a void in the depths of their existence, And the closest we'll ever be to obtaining a peaceful, so to completing that happiness in our lives, to obtaining that happiness, is when we suffer all things for Christ with joy and humility. If we maintain a peaceful conscience through resisting all sin and by fulfilling our duties in life, that is the most full and joyful life we could hope for, and it is proven by the lives of the saints. One story I was reminded of in writing this was from the book called The Little Flowers of St. Francis, in which he explains to Brother Leo what it means to have perfect joy in this life. I would like to conclude to you this sermon by reading the touching story, and of course, if you haven't read the book, The Little Flowers of St. Francis, I highly recommend that to you. The story goes that on a cold winter's day, St. Francis walked with Brother Leo from Perugia to Porciuncula because of their poverty. They suffered a lot in the cold. And at one point, St. Francis said to Brother Leo, "If God desired that the Friars Minor should serve as a great example of holiness to all people in all lands, please write down that this would not be perfect joy." At some point later in their journey, St. Francis said to Brother Leo, "If the Friars Minor could make the lame walk, if we could straighten the crooked, if we could chase away demons, if we could give sight to the blind and speech to the dumb, and even if we could raise the dead after 4 days, please write down and note carefully that this would not be perfect joy." Soon after, St. Francis said to Brother Leo, "If the Friars Minor could speak every language, if they knew everything about science, if they could explain all the scriptures, if they could predict the future and reveal the secrets of every soul, please write down and note carefully that this would not be perfect joy." After a few more steps, St. Francis cried, "Brother Leo, little one of God, if the Friars Minor could sing like angels, if they could explain the movements of the stars, if they knew everything about all animals, birds, fish, plants, stones, trees, and all men, please write down and note carefully that this would not be perfect joy." And finally, St. Francis cried again, "Brother Leo, if the Friars Minor could preach and thus convert every person to faith in Christ, please write down and note carefully that even this is not perfect joy." When this manner of discourse lasted for several miles, Brother Leo, who had been thinking about these sayings, asked Father Francis, "I pray that you will teach me about perfect joy." And St. Francis answered, "If we arrive at Porciuncula, and if we are drenched with rain and trembling with cold, covered in mud and exhausted from hunger, and if we knock on the convent gate, and if we are not recognized by the porter, and if he tells us that we are impostors who seek to deceive the world and steal from the poor, and if he refuses to open the gate, and if he leaves us outside, exposed to the rain and the snow, suffering from the cold and hunger, then if we embrace the injustice, cruelty, and contempt with patience, without complaining, and if we believe in faith, love, and humility, that that porter knew us, but was told by God to reject us, then, my dear Brother Leo, please write down and note carefully that this is perfect joy." St. Francis also said, "Brother Leo, if we knock again, and if the porter drives us away with curses and blows, and if he accuses us of robbery and other crimes, and if we embrace this with patience, without complaining, and if we believe in faith, love, and humility, that the porter knew us, but was told by God to reject us again, then, my dear Brother Leo, please write down and note carefully that this is finally perfect joy." St. Francis said once more, "If urged by cold and hunger, we knock again, if we call again to the porter, if we plead to him with many tears to open the gate and give us shelter out of love for God, and if he returns more angry than ever, and he calls us annoying rascals and beats us with a knotted stick, and he throws us to the ground and beats us again, and if we bear these injuries with patience, without complaining, and if we think upon the sufferings of the blessed crucified Lord, then, Brother Leo, please write down and note carefully that this finally is perfect joy." And finally, St. Francis said, "Brother Leo, please listen to me. Above all gifts of the Holy Ghost that Christ Jesus gives to his friends is the grace to overcome oneself, to accept willingly out of love For him, all contempt, all discomfort, all injury, and all suffering. In this and all other gifts, we ourselves should not boast, because all things are gifts from God. Remember the words of St. Paul, "What do you have that you did not receive from God? And if you did receive it from God, why do you boast as if it were not a gift?" But in the cross of afflictions and suffering, we truly can glory, because, as St. Paul says again, "May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.